The Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. And I'm your host, John Fowler, and my co-host, or would it be a co-host, or what is it like where you're equal?
It all depends on how you feel in the day. You know, you have your ups and downs. Sometimes I'm like, be quiet. What? You're saying, be quiet. I'm talking. You know, that kind of thing.
Like, I don't do you that
you
way.
You pull the Kamala Harris on me and go,
oh, Lord, you're going to get me kicked off. You better stop. I'm telling you, you can't talk it. Now, unless we just go to Rumble. Hey, if we go to Rumble, we can talk about politics all we want to.
Hey, Jonathan. That sound you've been taking off, you know.
I know. I've been down that road before.
John Sandy by your side. Hey, my sidekick. There you go.
I'm your sidekick?
Well, I'm yours because I just want to humble myself before
you. Oh, for the love. Hey, we want to say happy birthday to Sam Wayne today.
Oh, man,
Sam
I didn't
Wayne
know that.
Is having a birthday today.
Saw him yesterday, didn't know that.
And his birthday, see, he is 56 today. He's
his birthday?
Yeah, he's 56.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
Well, he's young for his age.
He's young for his age? Yeah, and you had one last week, and you didn't even tell me
until after
the show was over. So now I have to make the jokes today.
Oh, see, now you're going to make up for it.
Well,
let's see. We've done Moses.
Yeah, went to school with him.
Well, his children.
Who?
His children. Now, see, I keep telling you.
Okay, so he's older than you. Moses was older.
Yes. Yeah, I looked up to him quite a bit.
Was he taller, too?
Yeah, that was the only reason why.
Because you looked up to him.
Because I had no respect for him, man. I was a kid back then. I mean, I was that white rowdy teenager.
Right.
You know, I threw rocks at the Ark, stuff like that.
Did you really? Why he was built? How long did it take to build the Ark?
Well,
it was 120 years, wasn't it?
Well, they always liked, as like in movies, stretch it out, right? They always like to stretch out the truth. You got to be careful with stories that have a lot of statistics.
Right.
Because they like to elaborate just a little bit. You know, it was about a 75-footer, but They you know, took them like 17 years if they did weekends.
You think they didn't take off on the weekends?
Well,
it took 55 to 75 years to build the Ark.
I think they stopped skipping weekends when they started filling water.
Yeah.
A little drop here and there.
It was maximum of 75 years.
There were several years when they just had a few drops of rain. I was giving them plenty of warning, you know.
Then somebody says it took 120 years to build the Ark. Here's one that says it took 100 years. 100 years. How long did it take to build the Ark? Let's see here. The Bible says a maximum of 75 years to build the Ark. Can you imagine that's all you did?
Was building
all day long, all night long, to build the Ark, and no power tools.
I know. Think about it. I mean, and when you think about the fact that they built it on dry land. I mean, that's the big, like,
where it never rained.
I mean,
it never rained. And they got a dude building an ark who, and he's saying it's going to rain. And they're thinking he's nuts. And because of that fact. And yeah.
Yeah. Well.
And you think life's bad here.
Well,
imagine doing that.
Well, how about this one? You ever do something God wants you to do, you feel silly doing it? That was the ultimate one.
Yeah.
Build me an ark on dry land that's never seen rain.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know? I mean, you think about all those years of heckling that they got.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they finally got it when they shut the door.
Yeah, when they shut the door. God, I'll teach you.
That was a Jeopardy question.
What?
Who shut the door on the ark? And my mom knew the answer. They didn't get the answer on the program.
I think it was God that shut the door.
Yeah, God shut the door, and that's the trick of the question, I guess. But now, think about that, John. You talking about, God, are you in this?
All these,
I mean, you're sitting there on the ark. God, really? Are you in this? Can you give me a sign? Okay, here's what I want. Shut the door.
Yeah.
And he does. God shut the door, John.
Yes, he did.
Now, have you ever been to the ark encounter?
Yes.
And you see where that door is?
Oh, it's huge, yeah. I got a picture there.
Yeah, they got that door there. The ark is just absolutely huge.
Let me give you some interesting facts about the ark.
Oh, let's hear.
Okay, it's three decks. The ark had three levels, which provided space for the animules.
Animules,
Noah's family, and supplies. And that's in Genesis 6:16. The material was, of course, made out of gopher wood. And let's see here. The dimensions were 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, making it roughly the size of a modern cargo ship.
Wow, think of that.
I know, that's crazy. There was room for every kind of animal. God instructed Noah to take two of every kind plus seven pair of clean animals. That was for him to eat. See, a lot of people forget that.
See, that's really good because I didn't know. Of course, they did. Here's the thing. They were on the ark during the rain for 40 days and nights, right? But they were on the ark a lot longer than that.
Yes.
Because they had to wait for the water to settle. You know, have the story about the bird being sent out and things like that.
Yep.
But here's another thing. The floors of the cages had slits where if they used the bathroom, it would go through there.
Would it really?
Mm-hmm, I think so, yeah.
Well, that's a neat thing. Well, here you're talking about the flood duration. Here it is. It rained for 40 days and nights.
See, told you so.
But the flood water stayed on the earth for 150 days before starting to rescind. Think of that.
And see, when they got on, they didn't know if they were not going to simply live there forever and die on the boat. They didn't know anything.
No, they didn't have email, text, nothing.
Yeah, I think they had, I think CNN was there, though.
CNN?
Yeah.
I can believe it, too. Let's see here.
They always claim to be there.
Claim, yeah. Let's see. This talks about the dove with the olive leaf. The dove returned with an olive leaf signaling water was lowering, and then there was one time that it didn't come back.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the ark's windows. The ark had a single window, which Noah opened to release the bird to check the flood status. Think of that. No windows.
Question for you.
Yeah.
So he sent one bird out that never came back.
Right.
Does that mean he had some extra birds, like for extra animals for food? He also had extra animals for that, because if the bird never came back, then how did it multiply?
Well, remember, he had room for extra animals.
Extra,
yeah. God instructed Noah to take two of every kind of animal, mm-hmm. plus seven pairs of clean animals. So that's where that, and then there was, okay, here's, it said, the Bible used the term kind, which may refer to a broader animal group rather than a specific species.
And we know that just how certain species can mingle and create new species and things. So that's how we get all that. Now, here's the interesting thing. Can I assume that the underwater creatures remained alive?
Well, yeah, he just had them chained to the back of the boat. You know, like the
Well, that was the lobster whales. Trap. I'm not talking about the lobster trap. I'm talking
the whales and, well, you know, they only had one window. Of course, it rained for 40 days, so, you know, no, John, they had to put the whale on the boat. The whale had to come on the boat.
That's my point.
The fish had to come on the boat, all the fish of every kind. So they had aquariums.
So they were fine in the water. Everything in the water was fine, so he didn't have to worry about that.
No, they just followed along.
Of course, you know why they couldn't go fishing while they're on the boat.
Oh, boy. Why?
Because they only had two worms.
Two worms? That's so bad. Did you just think of that?
No, I heard that.
Yes, somewhere. Folks, you heard it here
you
first.
Heard it.
Okay, let me see here.
No, you heard it here last.
Yeah, last. There was no rudder or sails. The ark had no sails or rudder. It was purely a vessel of survival guided by God.
It was put on the water and bobbed there for over 100 days.
See, God wants you to turn in your sails and your rudders. It's time for you to quit driving.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, that
works. That works.
Yeah.
Did you do that one or did you have to buy that one?
No, I just come up with it. But now you think of this. Noah on the boat with his mother-in-law, father-in-law, about 150 days. He's got his kids. And what did the Bible say about what Moses did or what Noah did when the boat landed?
Get me out of here.
Let's see. Noah got drunk. He did.
Can you blame him? I mean,
Noah became drunk after drinking wine from a vineyard he planted after the flood.
Oh, so it took a while.
It took a while.
But he was still working through it, evidently.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about...
I don't blame him.
You're talking about these things that... I know. Like, well, listen, that's
150 years doing this. And
not that I want to go there.
Right.
But with a bunch of women on a boat that long...
Oh, gosh.
Oh, honey. So how many women were there in all? There were two sons and their wives, right?
Right.
And then with his wife.
Yes.
How many does that make, John?
Too many.
Three.
Three.
You never
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Never put three women together.
I think God missed that one. I mean, I think he's awesome.
Yeah.
But he just may have not thought that one out very well. Man, that's why he went and drank.
He did.
Where's Dad?
Yeah. You notice they didn't have any booze on the boat. It's probably a good thing. It'd have been a drunken stupor for
stupor.
For 150 days.
What do you mirror on the RV?
They wouldn't have cared.
No, whatever.
Yeah.
What day is it? I don't care.
I don't care. That's Genesis 9:21. It says, and when he drank some of its wine, he became drunk. Yeah, he did.
And
he had to think about it. That had to have been premeditated.
Premeditated.
Yeah. I mean, he probably said, Lord, when I get off this boat, I'm going to build me a vineyard, and I'm going to get drunk.
Does this mean that they also took with them seeds?
Well, I don't know. It's three stories. It's a pretty big cargo ship.
Well, I'm thinking about him doing a vineyard. How would he create a vineyard?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure everything.
You knew him.
Well,
I mean, you went to school with him or whatever. You should have asked him that question.
Now, see, it was his kids.
Oh, his kids.
And I was the younger of that group.
Oh, okay.
So, see, I'm a lot younger than you think I am.
Mm-hmm. I know you are.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
And wiser. Oh.
Oh, so much
wiser. The wisdom.
So much wiser.
It just flows like water.
Oh, it does. Just bellies of living water coming out of you, water flowing out of you, the wisdom you have. You do. You are smart.
I sit in the back of the boat, and I would sketch. See, I'm not mentioned in the Bible.
You're not?
No, because I was just a good friend. I was a stowaway.
Stowaway?
Yeah, and I'd sit in the back and write. And I'd say, hey, guys, how about this one? I hear from the very front of the boat. Shut up.
Do you think that you were you were supposed to be the Jonah of the thing, and you got – they just forgot about you?
You know, missed my boat.
You missed your boat?
Missed my boat. Yeah. Well, since I had all that experience on the ark, I was a natural candidate for Nineveh.
Oh, there you go.
See, and I'm going, this looks familiar.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, I got you.
I know you. When I saw that, when that fish grabbed me, I went, I know you from somewhere.
Like I knowed you. Yeah, just like a lady told me one time, she said that her grandfather, he said, I knowed I knewed her.
I knowed I knewed her.
So I retched over and I rolled down the winder and I hollered at her. Yep, that's for sure.
No, I knewed her.
Let's see here. This is what Noah was singing when the boat took off.
Okay, here we go.
Wait for it. All that old 70s music.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you like, you know, I listened to some of the old stuff because it was... It was real clean. It was all about holding your hand and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it takes me back in time. And so sometimes I enjoy picking up some oldies.
Yeah.
Neil Sedaka, and the list goes on. So
that's all guy get healed from that one time. Neil Sedaka.
From Neil Sedaka.
Yeah. It was awful. It was a terrible disease. I called for it. I actually called for it. I said,
yeah, the word
I believe there's somebody here that has Neil Sedaka. The lady came up front.
And she said, I got it.
She said, I've had it for years.
Years. She's going like this.
Lambago.
Lambago.
Yeah, lambago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I got a friend of mine that they used to make up sicknesses Just to give him names. Yeah, give him names.
And the guy that's funny.
And the guy that said, he said, man, that guy has such and such, and he says, oh yeah, I've got that. He said they make up stuff that doesn't exist, and he had it. You know, whatever. I mean, he would just make it up. He said, oh yeah, I've got that. Yeah, I got that.
It's kind of like a dangling participle.
Absolutely, yes.
Or a bundle of hiss.
Bundle of hiss?
Yeah, it's a term in it's a medical term for the heart. And when I worked for respiratory therapy, so that was a medical term back then. Bundle of hiss. And my wife and I, on a side note, kind of like that, we would talk a joke about how we would go into Lowe's. And if we wanted to get something, we wanted them to take us serious.
All right.
Then we'd throw out certain carpenter terms
just to
make them think.
That you knew.
Oh, it was hilarious. We'd go in, we'd say, we practiced going, yeah, I just put in some Schedule 35 and put down some Lewin in my bathroom and some tarp under the house. And so we just throw out terms like that. Do you happen to have an 8-inch screwdriver? And they take us more serious because they know what they're talking about.
Well, have you ever had trouble with your wobbler bearing? That's an awful thing.
It's kind of personal.
When you have trouble with your wobbler bearing.
I know you. I just don't know.
Yeah, wobbler bearing is a bad thing.
I don't talk about that.
What about a Henway?
Henway?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm telling you, that's a big one.
Margaret? I know. Margaret Henway.
Really? Well, have you ever had trouble with a Henway? I mean, seriously, have you ever had trouble with a Henway?
No, not lately. I think about 3 years ago, I had a shot. And it took
you had a shot?
Took care of it.
I mean, are you even curious about it?
As long as it doesn't hurt anymore, I don't care.
Doesn't hurt?
As long as I don't miss lunch.
If you have trouble with your Henway, you're in trouble. Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Anyway. You ready?
I think we're done.
I got stuff to do. I can't get this 15 minutes of my life back.
No, it's gone.
Gone. Crying won't bring it back.
Take a calculator and calculate all the times we've been together and how much time you've lost.
Yeah.
Way that's wasted.
I know. Wasted years.
Hey, I want to show you something.
What? Oh, you got your shoes on or your britches on?
Britches, you got me.
Oh, that's
cool. And I got me. This is a birthday gift.
Ah.
That's those Hey Dude shoes. You ever heard of Hey Dude?
I have heard of Hey Dude.
And they're really nice. You don't lace them or anything. You don't tie them. You slip them on.
They actually have a woman's store to that.
And it's called?
Hey Dudette.
Yes. Yeah, I knew you
were going to have that. Yeah, so they got Dudette and Dude. So. Man, it's
dude
really bad.
Dude. It's
please
bad.
Rescue me. Get me out of here.
We have a friend that she can always tie a song to the conversation.
Who's that?
Sue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she can take a song and she'll start singing it right while we're talking.
Oh, wow. She always ties into something. Yeah,
it's just fun she likes to do.
That's for sure.
Okay,
no,
let's do this thing.
Well, I guess. I hope you enjoyed it, everybody.
Welcome to the John John Show. Bye-bye. Welcome to the John John Show. You'll never know the influence that John has on my wife and my life. I mean, we carry with us all day long his influence.
Influence. Y'all need to get a life.
I mean,
something's wrong.
Anyway. Hey, we're on our subject, part number 3, on Stop Asking for What You Already Have. Good morning to all of you. Good day, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening. We're glad to have you with us. As I always say, no matter when you tune us in, you're right on time. Because God's Word is fresh, word up. God's Word is alive and well, so when you speak the Word of God, whether it be a word that God gives you from His mouth or from the Word of God, which is alive, it is for today. So we're going to talk about how we can help each other today and how to know what God has already given us. Stop asking for things you've got. It's right there in your hand, Moses. Remember that story? A true friend will carry you to Jesus when you can't get there by yourself. Now, what that's referring to a little bit is, I believe, is where they lowered a man through the roof, and it took 4 people that believed. We know they believed because Jesus said he saw their faith. We know that he wasn't referring to the man in the bed that was paralyzed because he said, your sins are forgiven. So you can have a great influence on other people's life with what you have in you. I mean, think about this, folks. You got friends and people that you love to help and do things for. The greatest thing you can ever do is live your life of Christianity in front of your friends that are lost or other people for their encouragement, even when you go to church to help people out with your revelation of who you are in Christ. So remember, you can have an influence on people around you just by your faithfulness. Jesus healed the lost, so you may be one, only one. Let me read it again. Jesus healed the lost, so you may be the only one, the only friend that can get someone lost to Jesus. Do you see the influence you have on your life? Sometimes you lay down breadcrumbs for people. Sometimes you just love them into the kingdom over time. Sometimes it's that very first time you meet them that you lead them to Christ. But it all starts with your love for them and your love for Christ showing through you to other people so that you can have a proper influence. So you can have a relationship with Jesus that's good or bad. You can have a bad relationship, but we want a good relationship so that we can have an influence on other people and we can carry the gospel through our example. See, if you're not living it, you can have words, you can memorize scripture, and still have a poor influence on other people's lives because you don't have the Spirit of Christ with the word. Even Satan knew the word. He perverted it in the desert. In one scripture, he added to it, and another scripture he took away from. But Jesus knew the word, and he always answered with the word, didn't he, to Satan? He said, the word says, the word tells us. So Jesus lived the word. He didn't just know the word. He lived the word. And what's the difference? Jesus knew what scripture to share with Satan. Jesus knew how to respond to Satan's. See, Satan was there to tempt Jesus, not give him anything. He was just there to tempt him. He had nothing to give him other than what he got from Adam and Eve. And if you look at the translation for the scriptures where it talks about where Satan offered Jesus all these kingdoms, remember, if you just bow down and worship me, it also says there, and maybe the Amplified, that it says that he offered Jesus what had been given him. What is it talking about? It's talking about what Adam and Eve surrendered, and Jesus came to take it back again. Even though the friends of the lame man could not get to Jesus because of the crowds, they made a hole in the roof. In other words, your faith will carry you through. Do not give up. Do not let go of your faith. Do not let it be diluted by the things going on around you, the signs and even the things in your own body talking to you. Don't let that influence you. Make a decision to go for God and trust him with his promises, and you are in a safe place. Because God's faithful, he won't fail you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He sticks closer than a brother. He is the great I am. The reason why God wants us to seek his face is because we see who we are in him. Because he carries us in his heart. He's got your picture in his wallet and a picture of you on his mantle in heaven. That's how personal you are. Now, we talked about Mark chapter, let me see. It was Mark chapter 2 or 3. Mark chapter 3, I believe. This one, we're going to continue on from that we had been on, and we're going to look at verse 11 in the book of Mark. We see that Jesus' assignment was greater than man's healing. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was there to uncover the hearts of some who were in the crowd, the scribes. So here we are. He's in the house. They're lowering him down through the roof. Jesus knows the thoughts and the criticisms of the people there. Some were there that were hungry for the word. Some that were there were hungry for healing. Some there were curious, and it went downhill from there. And some there were to judge him, to try to catch him. See, they're always trying to catch Jesus at something so that they could criticize him and bring him up against the law. The Mosaic Law, the 613 laws. They tried every way they could to make sure. That's why when he healed the little girl that was dead, Jairus' daughter, why they said, you're doing these things on the Sabbath. Why? Because of the law. Now, there were good things about the law. The Ten Commandments was part of the law of Moses, the Mosaic Law. So it wasn't that it was bad, the laws. It's just that you knew it was impossible to keep all 613. It just couldn't be done. In other words, the law showed us our need. Jesus came to show us the answer to our need. And he created a law. Jesus lived by the laws of God, like gravity. You know, if you jump off a building, you're going to probably get hurt because of the law of gravity. Well, God has laws as well, like in healing. You must have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, and it goes on and on. All the laws that God has set up for us to operate in the spiritual realms, which is where all our warfare is. So Here the men, these men are, because of their faith, they didn't give up. Do you give up when you believe for something? How long do you wait for God when you're believing for something? See, folks, if God, and I want you to hear this, if God gives you a promise, then time is not an issue. Let me say that again. If you have faith in believing for something and God has promised it, time is not an issue anymore. But unfortunately, we give up when we spend a certain amount of time waiting on God and seeking Him because it's hard and the flesh is crying out. See, when we fast, we don't fast to get God's attention. We don't fast to impress God. We fast to speak to our body that I am not going to be guided by my five senses. I'm going to seek God's face no matter what it looks like, no matter what my body's telling me. See, you can train your body to understand who's in control. Did you know that? You can train yourself through fasting and praying. You can train yourself by denying the flesh every opportunity you get in a way that is healthy. And you're speaking to the body and say, no, you're going to have to wait along with me. So you got to get your body on board to wait before God. So these men, because of their faith, time wasn't an issue. You know what else wasn't an issue? The crowd. You know what else wasn't an issue? Getting him up on a roof. You know what else wasn't an issue? Making a hole in the roof. You know what else wasn't an issue? Lower him carefully down through the hole. All that came because they did not let go of their faith. They believed, and that was all they knew and all they needed. So they pressed. So in the meantime, while this is all going on, and God is aware of everything, of course, He knows the thoughts of men. Jesus is in the house, literally, and He knows their thoughts. So He's going to take care of, but you know that old saying, kill two birds with one stone? I don't care for that term personally. But to accomplish two things at one time, excuse me, Jesus knew their thoughts. Everybody there, He knew their thoughts. So He thought, well, while I'm healing this man, I think I'll take care of something else here as well. Because He knew the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of them. He knew they were out to get Him, anything they could find at all. So He faced them down. When He said, your sins, He said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Well, He knew that would stir up the crowd. He knew. It's just like Jesus said to the scribe. He said, I am the law of Moses. You know, that, you think that stirred up the room up just a little bit? Yeah. It was all right that he was a prophet. It was all right that he was a man of God and called of God. That was all fine with people. But when you start messing with my mess, when you start messing with my thinking, my thought life, and all the things I've been taught and I believe in, no matter what, whether I can verify it or not with the Word of God, you're messing with their mess. And that's what Jesus did. He messed with them. And He said, your sins are forgiven. He said that before He was healed. Now, why? Well, different reasons. We speculate that one of the reasons was the man may have felt like he was unworthy to be healed because of sins. Have you been there? If you feel like you're unworthy for healing? Folks, it's a gift. You're not going to earn it anyway. Your fasting doesn't earn you anything. What it does, it draws you closer to God and resists the flesh. And it helps build your faith so that you can speak to mountains, right? So He's messing with their mess, and He's looking at that man. He says, here, let me try this one. Sir, your sins are forgiven. Whoa. Who can forgive the sins of man but God? You know, all this stuff like that. Well, He knew what He was doing. So He turned to them, knowing what they were thinking, and answered them. Have you ever answered anybody's thoughts? Have you ever known what someone's thinking and wish you could say something? Because, you know, you look at their facial expressions, you look at them, you know exactly what they're thinking. You know exactly what's going on, and you want to address it. Well, He did. He addressed it. He said, which is easier, to forgive the sins of man or say, take up your bed and walk? Well, of course, they believed in healing as long as it was on the proper day. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. You got someone in need and you're complaining because they were healed on the Sabbath. And that just the way we are? Carnality? That's carnality in a nutshell. Even if God has it for you and wants it for you, because it didn't meet your specs, How could God be in that? See, God was trying to release them. See, God came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to condemn it. He came to fulfill it. When the prophet spoke of his coming and by his stripes you're healed, he came to fulfill the Mosaic law. He came to fulfill it for them. And in doing so, it set them free. Because now, once he fulfilled the laws and the prophecies spoken of him, once he fulfilled them, now we came under a new law. Because of the blood and stripes, we came under a brand new law. You see, back in the Old Testament, if you didn't do something right, he just might strike you dead right there, give you a leprosy, or burn down your house, or open up the earth and swallow you up right then. That was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God has reserved final judgment for the day of judgment, as spoken of in Revelations. So God is getting ready to judge his people. See, the world is already judged. So we think, oh, we're going to stand before God and be judged one day. Keep in mind, folks, the world is already judged. It's us that pretend to be something we're not, that don't live it, that don't walk it, that are hypocritical, that talk about people behind their back or hate on people and all these things. See, those are the ones that will face judgment because the lost are already judged. So he's judging these priests. See, the problem Jesus had was not with the lost. He would heal the lost like the woman caught in adultery. He would heal her or forgive her sins, but he would also say, go and sin no more. Jesus had a standard, very high standard. And first of all, he lived it or he couldn't judge it. Don't judge something you're not living first. Keep your hands off of it. Now, you can know things by their fruit, you can know people by their fruit, and you're supposed to flee from the appearance of evil, but you are not to be the judge. You let God take care of that. You just love them, you pray for them, you act like Jesus around them, and you set an example for the lost and try to lead them and guide them to Christ and help them to do the right thing. But those that are carnal, those that are full of hate, those are the ones that you must be careful with and make sure that you don't fellowship with or get too close to. Those are the ones that you have to stand against like Jesus did. Now, I'm getting into an area that takes a more explanation, and I trust that I can kind of wrap that part up right here by just simply saying this. You are to love everybody. But you're also supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You are supposed to enter a room and be able to read it. Your faith will read a room, and you can tell what's going on, so you know what to say to who and what not to say to others. And those that are against you, you simply will wash your hands and wipe the dust off your shoes. You don't make a scene. You're not hateful. You just have wisdom because you walk with God. Jesus walked with his Father. And we see our Father through Jesus. So he spoke out and he judged these men. He said, which is easier, save your sins are forgiven or get it, take up your bed and walk? Well, that was a simple way of dealing with the issue because if someone's saved, you don't have to show them anything. Did you get saved yesterday? Yeah, I got saved yesterday at church. How do you know? Because I asked him to forgive me. See, you don't have an outward manifestation in that sense like a physical healing automatically. Now, your walk... Now, listen to this. Your walk, when you're a Christian, your walk should match a physical healing. When you're physically healed, it shows up right there in many cases. Well, your walk should show up the same way if you're faithful and you're doing God's will, not your own. Your faith should show up. I've said this before. If people could see fear on your face, why can't they see faith on your face? So he spoke to their unbelief and he spoke to their carnality because Jesus only had trouble with the Pharisees, Sadducees, and his disciples because they knew better. The lost didn't. So he'd forgive them, he'd heal them, and encourage them to don't sin anymore, to obey God from then on and love God and love each other. See, all those wonderful things he would instruct them on. That's why he would teach so much, trying to get us ready for the kingdom of God, not only in heaven but here on earth. So he spoke to the problems there. In that house, Jesus spoke to the needs and he spoke to the problems. He spoke to the needs through healing and example and loving the people and teaching them. He spoke to the problems by going face to face with the Pharisees and said, okay, which is easier? Well, what are they going to say? Yeah, if you heal someone's body, it better show up right then. So he turned and said, take up your bed and walk. So he took his bed up and walked, and guess what? He rebuked the Pharisees when he did it. Now, it doesn't mean that they liked it. It doesn't mean that they were going to lean to him and say, oh, God, forgive me. But there were some that would. But for those that were corrupt and hard-hearted, that did not want to do God's will and were after him to try to trick him in some way, and he knew that, those are the ones that are going to face judgment. We're accountable for what we know, the Word says. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was only experienced in part whenever when Jesus was on the earth, when they watched him work. They saw it in part. Only when Jesus came did anyone embody the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was the first one to embody. In the Old Testament, they had certain experiences with the Holy Spirit. It was limited. But when Jesus came along, he embodied the Holy Spirit. And then when he rent the veil in two on the cross, when he died, that gave the Holy Spirit to the whole world to carry in their body, because we are now the temple. But folks, you got to want it. You can say you have the Holy Spirit. You can do this and do that. You can try to manifest certain things. You can do all kinds of things. But if you don't have the goods, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't fake it. You can fool some people that are also faking it, but you can't fake it. When we pick up next time, we're going to get into John chapter 16, verse 7. I'm going to look at the amplified version of that scripture. We're going to break some things down a little bit and talk about the difference between advocacy, intercessors, counselors, strengtheners, all these wonderful terms used for the body of Christ that we should inhabit, right? So we're going to get into that next time we're together. We're so glad that you joined us today. Because God loves you, and there is hope for you. You can start back with God right now. If you're far from God, way far from God, or if you're close to him but not where you need to be, or you're stagnant in your growth, like I questioned the group we were with the other day, I said, I want to see change. I want to see a difference from week to week, from month to month, year to year. Do you have a greater testimony? Is your last testimony 32 years ago? Are you sensing his presence? Have you been experiencing healing in your body? Has your faith been getting stronger and your unbelief weaker? Things like that. We need to start changing, folks. But if you want to, this is a good day for you right now. You can give your life to Jesus right now and make him first, give him your life, take up your cross and start following his way and not yours, and watch what he does with your life. I don't care how bad your past is. First of all, he forgives and forgets it. That's a great start. But then he encourages us through love, like the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. He will start to build up the spiritual man in you as you're saved, and he will bring you to places and do things with you that are marvelous, wonderful things that could be written in books. And then we can review them forever and ever in heaven, right? So glad to have you with us. John's going to share a little bit about how you can help support this wonderful ministry. As we give of ourselves to try to help you, please hit like, share, and subscribe. Please share this. Leave a comment, question, praise report, prayer report. Leave a comment. And the next time we get together, hopefully we're going to be introducing you to our brand new website, Water and the Word Ministries, that we are excited about and helping to promote the Pulse churches and also the ministry that God and my wife and I have trusted the Lord for a long time. And we feel like this is the time. We'd love to invite you to be a part of that. So watch for that next Monday on the John John Show. So glad to have you with us. God bless you. And may God encourage you today to walk with him.
Thank you, John, Sandy, and several different ways you can give to this ministry. You can text the word PULSE, P-U-L-S-E, to 1-304-244-3187. You can also go to thepulsechurch.com on our website. Check out the website while you're there. And then you can also mail your love gift to P.O. Box 141, Gassaway, West Virginia, 26624. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WB Live, a network that beats to the heart of God.